good morning, everybody. I hope today is a good day for you. And I tell you, it's been great weeks. Hope you got your cup of coffee, your Starbucks, and the Word of God, and we're gonna just kind of get right into it today. We've been in a series that we've been looking at some of the different fires of God. So, you know, we know that God is described as an all-consuming fire, an unquenchable fire, a refining fire. And the first week that we looked at it, we looked at God's fire of guidance, and specifically Exodus chapter 3, and how the Lord spoke to Moses through that burning bush. And I would really encourage you to go back and revisit some of these. There's so much that the Holy Spirit will illuminate to you through those scriptures, and really any of the scriptures that we read. You can read them 100 times, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will just bring a new revelation to your heart. And it's really incredible, because the Word of God is alive. And we just are so thankful to have it. And one of the things that we realized, and the main thing that came through that message, was that God still speaks to us through burning bushes. And though it's not the lilac tree out in the backyard usually, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I'm sure it could, because you know, He's still a supernatural God. But the reality is most of the time when God speaks to us, the burning bush that we have is His Word. And it's a word that has stood for all of time, and it's because it is alive, and it is for all of time. We don't change it. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So look for those burning bushes, and God will use the prophetic realm. He will use people. He will use circumstances and things. But really, the bulk of what we need to be anchored in always in building our lives upon is His Word and the foundation of Jesus. Amen. The second week, wow, it was just incredible, man, looking at God's fire of protection and freedom. And that was one that we looked at the scripture in Zechariah 2:5, where God will literally create a wall of fire around them and be right in the midst. And that was speaking of the future millennial reign, and how God will be right in the midst of the wall of fire. But then again, we looked at God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we looked at how He manifested, even in the Old Testament, with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that was just an incredible, incredible insight that God gave us. Man, you know, they stood in what was meant to be a fire of death. It's in Daniel chapter 3. But what was meant to be a fire of death ended up being transformed by God Himself as they stepped into it, into a fire of protection and freedom, because they went into that fire bound. And as they were bowing before the true King of Kings, okay, that's a theophany where Jesus was with them, they actually found true freedom, because when they came out, they were not bound anymore. And they didn't even have the residue of smoke on them whatsoever. It's just incredible. And He's still doing that to us today. You know, when we get saved, man, He places that wall of fire right inside of our hearts. And He is right in the midst of her. And that's such comfort to me, you know, because I can get into things in life. And man, just knowing that God is with me, that He never leaves me and never forsakes me, that He's right there in the midst of me, that He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. That brings great joy to my heart. Last week, I didn't have a message on, but we did have a message at the church here, and it was a powerful time. We looked at some things from Psalm 34. God, it was one of those times where, you know, you're in a service, and it's like all of a sudden God just stepped into the room. And that's kind of what it was like. It was very powerful. We were looking at some scriptures in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, and he blesses us as we trust in Him. And that was really the crux of it. And He was just confirming His Word to us. And there was just a rich spirit of worship, and just a real genuineness. And there was a brokenness that came to many of us, because, you know, sometimes I think we can have almost a casual approach to God. And And these are just days and age where we can't afford to have that. I mean, right now, I just want to encourage you to take your relationship with Jesus very seriously. And I'm not saying that everybody's going to be a fire-breathing evangelist, but take it seriously. You know, let the fire of God have access to every area of your heart. Now, today, I want to talk about, and I mentioned it at the very beginning, I want to talk about the refining fire of God, okay? Refining fire of God. Sometimes we hear this and we don't really understand it. What refining is a process that literally it removes impurities and unwanted elements that are within you know, we a lot of times we're going to look at gold this morning, but the other aspect of refining is to make improvements, small improvements on something that is genuine and true, but making minor changes to that. There's other words that go along with it. Purifying, cleansing. Those are all things that we see in this process of refining. Now, I mentioned to you gold. I'm really kind of into that show on TV, Gold Rush. You know, Parker Schnabel and Tony Beats and that whole crew and all that stuff. It's a lot of fun, and I enjoy watching that process. Probably because in my heart, I'm kind of an evangelist at heart, and I really want to see, you know, people see the true treasure that they are on the inside of them. I want to see them come into that full place, and sometimes, you know, when the gold mining process starts, you know, it looks like just a bunch of dirt. You don't even see that there's actually gold in that dirt, and they go through a whole process of extracting the dirt and running it through these huge machines called sluices, and those sluices end up extracting the gold in a very raw form from the dirt and everything. So when that happens, there's a raw form of gold that's called ore, okay? And that's really what we see at the end of most of the episodes when they're celebrating. They got the jars of, you know, the mason jars full of gold and all of that. But there's one of the things that I think is pretty incredible, and it's a process that's called smelting, okay? You can Google it or check it out on YouTube. There's plenty of videos on there. But one of the things that happens in this process of smelting, okay, it takes gold in a very, very raw form, okay, and the raw form is ore. Now, the ore still has impurities in the gold, okay? Primarily, there's iron in there and there's silver in there. And what they do is they heat up a cauldron, if you will, to around 1300 degrees. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty hot. Gold melts at 1064 degrees, so they take it beyond the melting stage all the way up to 1300 degrees. Now, before they add the gold into that fire, what they do is they put it in a fire-resistant pot. It could be ceramic, it could be lots of, there's two or three different types that they use. But what they add to it is what they call flux, okay? Now, one of the fluxes that's pretty common is soda ash and even borax, which is a soap, okay? So it's, you can see where this is going here, okay? So they add that, it's usually one part to one part, and they'll add that to the gold. They'll mix it up and then they'll put the gold in a raw form of ore into the melting pot. Now, as that gold is heated up in that melting pot, what happens is gold is an inert metal, okay? So it's not going to react to the flux that's in there. So what the flux does is it attracts the impurities. It attracts the iron, it attracts the silver that is in there, and it attaches itself to the impurities. And the flux then, okay, it floats to the top. And when it's in that form, once it combines, it's called slag, okay? So this slag then, as it's removed from the fire and it's poured into a mold, the slag comes to the top, all right? And because, again, it's all pulling all those impurities out of that gold. And when it comes to the top, the goldsmith or whoever's doing it, they tap it with a hammer and that slag falls off. So then what you're left with after that entire process is a pure gold bar. All right. Now, there's also one additional process, because there's still sometimes a few remaining things in that gold. There's some residue from the impurities. So they'll even expose it to what they call chlorine bubbles. Okay, this is I think they call it a Miller's process is the name of it. But they'll infuse chlorine bubbles into that gold again in this process, and that will actually pull out even more of the residue and the very few things that are left behind, the things that are really undetectable, but yet they're still there. And then what is left behind is an absolute pure bar of gold. Now, that's a first phase and a second phase. So it's pulled out of the ground, and then when it gets all the way to the becoming a pure gold bar, it's quite a process. Can I just say, when we look in the Bible, there's a huge comparison here, and I think you can draw it. But God is referred to as a refiner, okay? Now, you can just go to Google or whatever search engine you have, and you can just pull up, you put in refining fire of God, okay? Now, I did that, and there's over 100 scriptures that came up. And I want to tell you something. It's amazing what God is doing in this day and in this hour. Now listen to this. This is a really cool one. It says, I will refine them as one refines silver. I will test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Listen to this out of Isaiah. It says, I've tried you in the furnace of affliction. There again, it's that furnace. It's conceptually that refining fire of God. It says, I have refined you, but not as silver, okay? Malachi, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons and daughters. He will refine them like gold. Over and over and over in Job, it says that he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as what? I shall come out as gold. Again, it's that refining fire of God. And over and over and over again, I love the one in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 7. It says, therefore says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and test them. For what else can I do because of my people? Why does God refine? Why does God test? Because his desire is for you and I to not have to live with the slag of our lives. Okay? Now, let me just unpack this for a minute here. You know, when we get saved, okay, and what I'm talking about is when we actually come to the place where we admit that we're sinners and that we need a Savior, okay? So if we confess our sins, the Scripture tells us that God is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the cleansing process takes some time, but here's really what kind of happens. When we get saved, it's like being that gold, God sees the treasure in us that we don't even see sometimes. So we get put into that cauldron, all right? And Jesus, all right, the cross, okay? The cross was the very thing that the wrath of our sin was poured out upon. So that cross comes in, and the sin of our lives is attracted to the cross, because that's where Jesus paid for it. And he removes that sin from our lives. He removes that shame. He removes all that stuff. It comes to the top, and it's knocked off of our lives. So then what's left is a pure bar of gold. But then there's still a refining process that takes place in our lives. And that's the process that we know in the Christian world of sanctification, where each and every day we're becoming more and more like Jesus. It's in Romans, it talks about renewing of our minds through the washing of what? His word. Now, his word is similar to those chlorine bubbles being added to the gold, if you will, okay? And I know that that's probably not a great analogy, but I think it kind of works, you know? The word of God then becomes that. It continues to remove the residue of our past. It continues to remove how we used to cope and deal with issues and things from our life. And it's just amazing to me how God will strengthen us, and he will reveal his truth to us as we will do it. But I want to tell you something. there's something that we all have to understand, that it takes effort, it takes time, and it takes desire and passion. You know, when we get saved, there's something that God puts in us, and it's a desire for Him. See, we were always created to worship. And if you're like me, I wasted a lot of my life worshiping other things, and it just came up so empty. But man, when I got saved, it was like the lights came on. It doesn't mean my life's perfect. It doesn't mean that I don't ever struggle or make a bad decision or go through some of the fires of this life. I do just like anybody, and I don't always get it right. Sometimes things that I do, you know, I scratch my head. Well, you know what? That's some of the residue from who I used to be. And you know, I'm 30 years into serving Jesus, but I'm going to tell you right now, I still got residue. And every day, I need His Word in my life to continue to pull that residue. Because at the end, I want to have pure gold that I can lay at His feet. You see, in Colossians 3, it says this. It says that whatever we do, we need to work at it with all of our heart. Work at it with all of our heart. You know, when I used to play football and I used to be in athletics and do all those things, boy, I used to work at it hard. And I mean, I would do some crazy things just to get better, to get get an edge on the person that I would be facing someday. You'd lift weights, you'd train, you'd work out and do all the things that you needed to do. And in the same way in our Christians' lives, we need to do that. We need to work out in the Word of God, and we need to exercise our faith by praying and seeking Him. And I will tell you, you'll begin to see some of that residue removed from your life the more that you do that. You know, in the Bible, David, he was referred to as the apple of God's eye, but David even said, he cried out to God, "Search my heart, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me." And that's my heart's cry today. I want to cry out to God and just say, "Lord, you know, I haven't arrived. Search my heart. I still got, man, sometimes I get a tude. Sometimes I get an attitude about stuff. And I don't want to have an attitude. I want to have the right attitude. I don't want to have hatred in my heart. I don't want to have unforgiveness in my heart. I don't want to have these things in my heart toward individuals or towards leaders or presidents or whoever it is. You know, some people, man, they are just so, so hateful towards some of our governmental leaders. It just breaks my heart to see that happen. You know, that type of hatred has no place in the lives of believers. It'll just take you down so quick, friend. And again, that's not a shameful way, but maybe ask God to help you with that, and He will, I promise you. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says this in verse 10. It says, "By the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with what? It will be revealed with fire, the refining fire of God." Amen. "And it will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet he will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." Friends, I don't want to just be one escaping through the flames. I want to have some gold and silver and some precious jewels to throw at the feet of my Savior on the day that I stand before Him. That's describing the Bema Seat of Christ, where all of our works will be judged. That's not the great white throne judgment. That's not reserved for believers. But our works, our motives, all the things that we think are so pure are going to be tested tested by the fire of God, the refining fire of God. So why not employ that refining fire right now? Why not place ourselves in the kiln of God's love? Because remember, friends, He's right there in the midst of her. And He will refine us. He will make us into the pure vessels that He desires us to be. Friends, I love you. I hope you're having a great week. I'm going to continue to be praying for you. I hope this has helped. Remember, God's fire is burning. His refining fire is burning. Allow Him to burn over your life. Allow Him to remove the rest of the residue of the past. Sometimes we can get hung up on it, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus has won this battle, and it's a battle that only He can fight. We can try to do it on our own, but we're going to fail miserably. God is so good. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day.